Welcome to episode 1115 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Have you ever faced a moment where you had to decide between trusting in God's promises or relying on worldly security? Perhaps you achieved a great victory, overcoming an addiction, getting a breakthrough in your career, or standing firm in your faith, but then immediately faced a test. Would you continue to trust God, or would you take the easier, more tempting path? Moments of triumph are often followed by moments of testing. What we do next reveals where our faith truly lies. Abram had just experienced a great victory. He had courageously led a small force to rescue his nephew Lot from enemy kings, showing great bravery and military skill. But after this triumph, two kings approached him, one offering wealth and worldly power, the other offering a blessing from God. In that moment, Abram had to choose. Would he take security from the world, or continue to rely on God? This was not just a political decision, it was a spiritual one. His response revealed his growing trust in God's promises. Yet, even after making the right choice, Abram still wrestled with doubt. He had seen God's protection, but he had not yet seen the fulfillment of God's promise to give him descendants as numerous as the stars. In Genesis 15, God meets Abram in his doubt, reassures him, and makes a covenant with him. A covenant that would not only define his life, but would shape the course of history. This passage teaches us about faith in the midst of uncertainty, God's faithfulness to his promises, and how true righteousness comes not through works, but through trusting in God's word. Today we will explore how this moment in Abram's life mirrors our own journey of faith, as we learn to trust in God's timing, his provision, and his unshakable promises. After Abram's incredible victory over the four kings who had taken his nephew Lot captive, he was met by two figures: the king of Sodom, a worldly corrupt ruler offering material wealth; Melchizedek, king of Salem, a priest of the Most High God, offering a blessing and communion with God. This moment was not just a casual political encounter. It was a spiritual crossroad. Would Abram seek earthly riches and security from Sodom, or would he trust in God's provision and blessing? The king of Sodom offered Abram the spoils of war, essentially inviting him into an alliance. This might have seemed like a practical decision. After all, Abram had just risked his life in battle, and taking the wealth could have made him stronger for future conflicts. But Abram knew that Sodom represented moral corruption and rebellion against God. He refused to take anything from the king of Sodom, saying, "I have lifted my hand to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich.'" Abram's decision is a powerful lesson for us. When we achieve success, the world often offers us tempting rewards, compromises in integrity, shortcuts to financial gain, or relationships that seem beneficial but pull us away from God. Like Abram, we must ask ourselves, are we seeking security from the world, or are we trusting in God as our ultimate provider? In contrast to the king of Sodom, Melchizedek came not to demand anything but to bless Abram. He brought bread and wine, symbols that later find deep meaning in the New Testament as elements of communion. Melchizedek recognized that Abram's victory was not his own doing, but a result of God's power. "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." Abram responded by giving a tithe, a tenth of everything, to Melchizedek. This was an act of worship and acknowledgement that everything he had belonged to God. His faith was growing, and he was learning to rely not on human alliances, but on divine provision. Abram's choices challenge us to examine our own lives. When success comes, do we attribute it to God, or do we take the credit for ourselves? When faced with worldly offers that seem beneficial but could compromise our faith, do we take them, or do we stand firm in God's promises? Do we give back to God in gratitude, recognizing that all we have comes from Him? Abram chose faith over fear. He refused worldly wealth and aligned himself with God's blessing. Yet, as we will see, even after this moment of faith, doubt still crept in. Like us, Abram was on a journey of trust, sometimes strong, sometimes uncertain. And just as he did for Abram, God meets us in our doubt and reassures us of his promises. After his incredible victory and spiritual high point with Melchizedek, Abram faced an unexpected emotion: fear. Genesis 15 begins with, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Why was Abram afraid? He had just won a battle, refused wealth from the king of Sodom, and been blessed by a priest of God. What could possibly make him anxious? His fear likely came from two sources. The uncertainty of the future. He had turned down worldly security, but God's promises had not yet been fulfilled. Would he regret his decision? The unfulfilled promise of a son. God had promised Abram many descendants, yet he and Sarai remained childless. Could he still trust God's word? This is a relatable struggle. How often do we step out in faith, only to face fear and doubt afterward? We obey God, but when results don't come immediately, we start questioning. Did I do the right thing? Did I hear God correctly? Will he really come through for me? Abram does not hide his feelings. He responds to God's promise with a raw, honest question. O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Abram had been waiting for God's promise, but nothing had changed in his circumstances. No child had been born. His wife Sarai was still barren. So he started reasoning in human terms. Maybe God meant for me to pass my inheritance to a servant instead of having a biological son. Isn't this just like us? When God's promises don't happen on our timeline, we start trying to figure things out on our own. We reinterpret his words to fit what we see. We look for shortcuts. We settle for less than what God actually intended. But God had something far greater in mind for Abram. Instead of rebuking Abram for his doubts, God reassures him. He takes him outside and says, "Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. So shall your offspring be." God didn't just tell Abram his promise again. He showed him. He gave Abram a visual reminder of the vastness of his plans. Every night when Abram looked at the sky, he would see a reminder of God's faithfulness. Sometimes, when we struggle with doubt, we don't just need to hear God's promises again, we need a new perspective. Maybe God speaks through nature, reminding us of his power and creativity. Maybe he brings a person into our lives to encourage us at just the right moment. Maybe he reminds us of past blessings, showing us that he has never failed us before. God does not ignore our doubts. He meets us in them and strengthens our faith with tangible reminders of his faithfulness. The passage concludes with one of the most profound statements in Scripture.
Genesis 15, verse 6. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness.
Abram's circumstances had not changed. He still had no child. He still had no land. But he chose to believe God's word over his doubts. And in that moment, God counted his faith as righteousness. This verse is foundational to the gospel. It teaches that righteousness is not earned through works, but received through faith. Abram was not made righteous because of his good deeds. He was made righteous because he trusted in God's promise. This means that our righteousness before God does not come from how perfectly we obey, but from where we place our trust. Like Abram, we may have doubts. We may not always understand how God will fulfill his promises, but when we choose faith over fear, God counts it as righteousness. Abram had every earthly reason to doubt, but he chose to trust. His faith was not in what he saw, but in who God is. We all face seasons of waiting, times when God's promises seem delayed, when circumstances look impossible, when we're tempted to figure things out on our own. But in those moments, God calls us to look beyond what we see. Like Abram looking at the stars, we must remind ourselves that God's plans are bigger than our current struggles. Be honest with God. Abram asked hard questions, and so can we. Faith is not pretending we have no doubts. It's bringing our doubts to God and trusting him anyway. Believe even before we see. Righteousness comes by faith, not by sight. God honored Abram's faith and later fulfilled every promise he made. In the same way, God will always be faithful to his word in our lives. Will we trust him, even when we can't see the outcome? Father, thank you for reminding us that faith, not fear, is the path to righteousness. When we face moments of doubt, help us to trust in your promises rather than our own understanding. Strengthen our hearts to walk by faith, knowing that you are always faithful and that your plans far exceed what we can see. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.